Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode today, I'm going to touch on why you should stop majoring in the minors. And before jumping into the episode and explaining what about, I'm going to do a quick update on myself. So I'm currently sitting round about 3 weeks post-show. I'm round about 10 pounds up from my lowest weight off prep and about 6 pounds up from my stage weight. And things have been going very, very well. Training's absolutely flying at the moment, just having some more body fat on my frame, getting back into a better spot hormonally. For those that don't know, like when you compete, when you're in contest prep, like you're not in a good position kind of health-wise. So the priority post-show is to kind of manage fatigue, so not bury myself into the ground too much with like a ton of intensifiers for like lower body training, for example, keeping volume or the amount of work or sets I'm doing a bit lower, and just trying to keep my body weight up relatively fast, and then from there gradually gaining slow over a long period of time, as that's where you build muscle best when you're in a gaining phase. So in terms of the episode, majoring in the minors. So what I mean by this is I think a lot of people will stress about things that give them little reward. Again, major in the minor, they'll focus on the minutiae that won't give them much reward instead of worrying about kind of the fundamentals and what matters most. So different actions will obviously yield different levels of reward, hence the title. So here I'm going to talk through where you should channel your efforts if you want the most reward out of your training, if you want the most reward out of your nutrition, and also your recovery outside the gym. So we want to think about like what yields results. It's going to be consistent hard training, effective nutrition, good sleep and stress management. That's going to make up the majority of your progress before worrying about any magical supplement, before worrying about any special attachment in the gym or any optimal exercise or anything in that regard, or any recovery modality like foam rolling, etc. So what this basically tells us is if you aren't nailing the above, if you're not consistently training hard on a program you can stick to, if you're not following an effective diet consistently, and if you've not got good sleep and stress management, but you're stressing about what pre-workout to buy, or what supplement you should be having, or the timing of your food, then you're majoring in the minors. So you're pouring efforts into areas that will give you pretty little reward for your investment, if that makes sense. So we want to make sure, obviously, we're not putting our efforts to waste, and this is what this episode is going to discuss. So first of all, in terms of what to think. So first of all, like when it comes to any area you're trying to improve or thing you're trying to consider, is if it will give you reward, will it improve the quality of your training, your sleep and stress management, or your nutrition? If they're in a good spot already, magic. But if they aren't, address them first before thinking about making any other changes or doing anything else. So I'm going to touch on what matters most with your training and then nutrition, and then touch on recovery. And then I'll talk about what matters pretty little when it comes to training, nutrition and recovery. And then I'll give you some examples as well. So in terms of training, what matters most with training? So I kind of touched on it briefly, but of course, if I ended it there after quickly touching on it, it wouldn't be much of a podcast episode, would it? Lasting a whole 3 minutes and a half. So in terms of training, what matters most? So we want to think about, first of all, like what can we adhere to? The best split or the best anything is what you can adhere to over a consistent period of time. Obviously, there's a balancing act because anyone can adhere to maybe training once every month, but it's not going to yield results. So you obviously want to push yourself in terms of, like if you're training one times a week, obviously push yourself to try and get in more frequently if you want more results, of course. But we want to make sure what training split we're on we can stick to consistently. So I'd rather have a client, let's say they're struggling to adhere to like a 5 day a week training split, I'd rather have them on a 4 or 3 day a week training split, but them nail it consistently, than them trying to achieve, let's say, training 5 times a week but failing to do so. The reason being is, see when you don't hit your goals, see when you don't tick your boxes on a daily basis, it reinforces you're an individual that isn't consistent. It reinforces that that's okay, and that becomes your new norm. Like if someone's, let's say, got a really unsustainable training goal, let's say someone's goal was to train, let's say, 7 times a week, or let's say twice a day, and they just are never going to achieve that, then they're not going to even try. Whereas if your goal is attainable, then you're going to be more likely to actually try and hit it. So I'd rather see someone, let's say, who might not be able to train 5 days a week on a 4 day split and give them like an additional session when they have time, rather than tell them, right, you need to train 5 times a week, and they fail to do it, because that's just going to reinforce negative behaviors, negative habits, and kind of knock their confidence as well, which is something massive. So we want to make sure we're hitting our goals, because if they're not sustainable, you're not even going to try. So yeah, you want to make sure you've got a split you can adhere to. And obviously what's going to play a part in that is going to be enjoyment, and also what your schedule looks like in terms of work commitments, other commitments outside the gym. But of course, before thinking, right, I'm only going to train twice a week, like, can you be more efficient with your time instead of just settling on, right, I can only train 2 times a week? Because you can always improve your time management. So after we're considering like training consistency, the most important thing is kind of effort. And obviously you could say, does effort matter more, or does form matter more? But if you're not getting the effective reps close to failure, it doesn't matter how perfect your form is. Obviously we want both in the ideal world. You don't want just one or the other. Like, it's not like, and we don't need to just pick one. You can do both, thankfully. So what matters most, like, after having a consistent split you can stick to, is going to be like your effort you're putting into your sets. And the reason why like enjoyment matters is if you've got a split you enjoy, you're going to stick to your training more effectively, and also you're probably going to get more effort into it. So there's a lot of debate in terms of what's better, a full body split, push pull legs, upper lower, a bro split. Like, what are you gonna enjoy, what are you gonna pour the most effort into, what are you gonna stick to over the longest period of time, because that's ultimately what will give you results. That aside, you could obviously argue the minute details, like, oh, maybe it's better doing push-pull legs for this reason, or this is more suited to yourself. But again, what do you enjoy? Because that's going to lead to better adherence. So that's what I'd look to prioritize there. And then after that, it's good form. So for example, someone could have the perfect machine for training their back, but if they are pulling with their biceps, and it doesn't matter how perfect the machine is, and if they're not, let's say, putting effort in, again, doesn't matter how perfect the machine is, because they're not getting those effective reps, the ones close to failure that will stimulate muscle growth. So yeah, the three things that matter most when it comes to your training is going to be your form, your effort, and also your consistency. So make sure you're worrying about nailing them before worrying about maybe what attachment you're using on a lat pull down, or what, let's say, what setup you're using on a certain machine, or your seat height, or stressing about how long you should rest for, if you should rest 2 minutes or 2.5, if you should use a cuff, or if you should use a D handle. Like, none of that really matters as long as you're nailing like the above first, because it's like, if you look at the people who get results, they all do different things. They all don't all follow the same split. They don't all use the same machines, but what do they have in common? It's the three things I touched on: hard training, doing that consistently with good form. Some people obviously might not have the best form on paper, but you should then use outliers as an example. What I mean by that is, if anyone's ever heard of Branch Warren, if they follow bodybuilding, if you look up his training, like, it's ridiculously sloppy, but he gets away with it because he works stupidly hard. And obviously there's a genetic factor involved as well. And what that basically means is, like, you shouldn't look at the outliers as an example. Like, if you're wanting to, let's say you're wanting to see, you're trying to look for someone to maybe give you ideas of how to grow a body part. If that person's genetically got like a really, really good back, they're not the people to go to, or that's not the individual to go to learn how to grow a massive back. You want to look at the people who have maybe not had a good back and then has managed to improve their back development massively, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's pretty much it when it comes to training. So again, hard effort or hard training, consistency, and doing so over a long period of time with good form, really. That's what's going to matter most. And in terms of like what doesn't matter, a few more examples is like, again, exercise order, how, like I said, your rest periods, things like maybe your, what else can I think of, like what bicep exercise you're doing, like, again, just exercise selection, exercise order, your, and things like that. Like, don't stress about that until you're nailing the prior, because they don't matter. Like, I had a client ask me, like, have I got enough bicep work in my program? But they weren't following he or he wasn't following the program. So that doesn't really matter. Like, why does it matter if you've got six sets a week for biceps or eight sets a week or whatever, if you're not currently doing the amount of volume, doing the amount of work prescribed? Doesn't nail that first. And again, that's not me trying to give this client a hard time, but that's a great example of majoring in the minors. He's stressing about things that he doesn't need to stress about at that current moment of time. And obviously stress will impact the recovery, so that's kind of stress going to waste in that regard. So in terms of next up, I want to touch on nutrition. So with nutrition, what's going to matter most? Obviously it depends where you're at, like what phase you're in, what your goals are, but what will govern what happens with your body weight is going to be energy balance. So calories in, calories out. So if your goal is to put on body weight or lose body weight, that's what's going to be the most important factor, how much calories you're consuming on a daily basis. As well as that, I'd say protein intake. So having a sufficient amount of protein, because obviously you need that to build muscle effectively, as our muscle is made up of literal protein. And if you're not, let's say, having enough protein in your diet, what's your body going to prioritize? Repairing, let's say, organs and other tissues in the body, or building massive biceps? What's going to be ranked highest on the order of importance when it comes to your body's priorities? It's obviously going to be repairing like organ tissues before building 21 inch biceps. So that's why you want to make sure you've got a sufficient amount of protein, so that you're not, and we don't store protein as well, unlike we can store carbohydrates as glycogen, and we can store fat as like adipose tissue. So we can technically, like, we don't need carbohydrates. You could argue you need fats for like good hormonal health, but I think you get the drift. Like, we can't store protein, so that's why your daily protein intake matters so much, because you can't just magic protein out of thin air or store it for a few days. Like, if you don't have enough protein available, where's your body going to get from? It's going to get from muscle tissue. So if, let's say, you're training legs really hard, but then you've not got enough protein, it's going to pull protein away from maybe other body parts, or you're just not going to grow much muscle in your legs. So as well as protein and overall calories, because obviously calories is what's going to influence your body weight, the distribution of fats and carbs doesn't matter an awful lot, so don't stress about that. Again, especially if you're not hitting your calorie goal or your protein goal, the only caveat to that is if worrying about your carbs and fats will help you reach those previous two, your calories and protein, then that's when it will start to matter. But if you're not at that point yet, then don't stress about it. And obviously there's extremes. Like, if you are in like a contest prep, like I was, and my food's low, like when I consume my carbohydrates matters. Or how much carbohydrates I'm consuming matters massively. It's going to influence my look. But again, I'm nailing the other variables before mattering, or before stressing about those things. So yeah, make sure you're nailing your protein and calories before worrying about fats and carbs. But again, the caveat to that is if it allows you to adhere better, which is a good point, because like I said, adherence is most important with all three, in terms of nutrition, recovery and training. But when it comes to like your carbohydrates and fats, the reason why it can matter is some people might find they've got better hunger management if their fats are a bit lower, because fats basically slow down the digestion of the food you're consuming. So if you're having, let's say, a really, really fatty meal, then that might fill you up for a long period of time, and that individual might be better opting for having more carbohydrates in their diet. And also, it's like enjoyment and personal preference. If someone can eat a lot more food with a high carb diet and they enjoy that more, then that's going to allow, again, better adherence. What else matters most when it comes to your nutrition is going to be like water intake and salt intake, so your hydration. So making sure you're consuming a sufficient amount of electrolytes, which you can get through salt itself and through different foods, and also having things like electrolyte powder. But what I'd say is just try and keep your salt consistent, and a good place to start if you're not consuming much salt is salting meals to taste. And salt gets a lot of hate. People demonize salt a lot, and I think wrongly. So a lot of foods that are maybe bad for you will also have a lot of salt in you, but that doesn't mean salt in them, sorry. But that doesn't mean those foods are necessarily unhealthy. That doesn't mean salt is unnecessarily unhealthy. What I mean by that is it's correlation, not causation. Just because, let's say, a food's high in salt doesn't mean it's bad for you. It just means it happens to also have salt in it because it makes food taste good. For example, like a burger has a lot of salt in it, and burgers might not be the best food choice, but it doesn't mean the salt itself is bad. Same with like pizza. Pizza might be really high in salt and be really salty, but again, salt doesn't mean, it doesn't mean it's, the salt's bad, it just means the pizza's bad and it happens to have salt on it. So we need salt, we need sodium present, which is found in salt for things like muscular contractions. It plays a big part in our focus, cognitive function. So we want to make sure we're consuming a good amount on a daily basis. If you've ever experienced cramp, that can be from lack of salt. You basically need salt present and sodium present to kind of stop contracting your muscles, which is why some people may experience cramp due to having low salt. There's also like a relationship between your salt intake and your water intake. Like if you have more water, you will excrete more sodium or salt because you'll pee more out. So the more water you drink, typically you want to increase salt alongside that. I'm not like a qualified nutritionist or a doctor, dietitian, whatever, but I think a rough good place to start is consuming a minimum of 2 liters a day as a female. I think 3 liters a day as a male, and as well as that, having round about 8 to 10 grams of salt a day. Some people are like salt sensitive, so it may increase their blood pressure because salt can pull water into the blood, making blood pressure rise. But that doesn't mean everyone should avoid salt. What I'd say is measure blood pressure before, introduce more salt in your diet if you don't already have much, and then see what your blood pressure does. And if you don't want to track your salt, again, just salt your meals to taste. A good way to know if you're having too much salt is see if you consume it and it's just tasting really salty and you've got no kind of desire to eat salty foods, or you just really, really dislike the taste of it because it just feels too salty. Probably having too much salt, but because your body's quite smart at kind of regulating itself, just like how it regulates its appetite, it will regulate its salt intake as well to an extent. What else matters most with nutrition? So that's pretty much it. You could argue like other factors matter, like meal timing, meal frequency, where you're eating, your calories, and they all do matter. But again, what matters most, what will give you the biggest return for your investments, what I mentioned, your hydration, your calories and your protein. After that, I'd probably say like the composition of your food or what food you're consuming. What I mean by that is like the actual, what you're getting your calories from in terms of the food choices. Because obviously just having, let's say, whey and rice cakes and that set in your diet, probably not going to have the same results and be as good for you as having like a wide array of micronutrients, consuming different protein sources on a daily basis, consuming different carbohydrates and fat sources on a daily basis. A good place to start is have variety. So don't just have the one protein source a day. Try and have a couple different protein sources, fruit and veg sources, hit your 5 a day. And as well as that, like vary your carbohydrate sources. That's not only going to make it more enjoyable, which will lead to better digestion because you'll actually chew your food more and produce more saliva, to which will digest the food. But as well as that, better adherence, which will again give you better results. Because that's, again, what matters most. And then if you do enjoy your diet, if you make your diet enjoyable, you won't feel the need to go off plan on a regular basis or eat poorer food choices or go over your calories, because you'll enjoy it and it's going to be easy to stick to as a result of that. And after, like, the composition of your foods, I'd say, again, I've not got, like, a study to back this up or whatever, but I'd then maybe consider, like, meal timing. Like, meal timing, timing your food around the training window in particular. So I think that's the most important time to be diligent with your nutrition after hitting like protein and calories is, and your hydration, is like placing your food around the workout window, because that's where it matters most. That's where you want to perform. That's when you want to basically have the energy, have the fuel available, especially if you're dieting, because you're in an energy deficit. You need to be really on the ball with this more than if, let's say, you're in a gaining phase and have a ton of food available. Then after that, you could maybe juggle up meal frequency and meal timing. And meal, basically, the more often, or when we eat a protein source, we spike muscle protein synthesis, which puts us in a good position to build muscle and also recover. So that's why like the amount of meals you have matter, because the more meals you have, the more times you'll spike muscle protein synthesis. So for example, an individual who eats 5 times a day, they'll spike muscle protein synthesis 5 times. If someone does it once, then they'll only spike it once. That one time they do spike it, it will spike much more significantly because they're getting a larger amount of protein in that one serving. They're getting a big bolus of protein in. So that will lead to like a larger muscle protein synthesis spike. But I think having like the spikes spread evenly throughout the day matters more. And again, we don't store protein in our body, which is good reason to maybe have your meal spaced out and eat relatively frequently. You don't need to eat 8 times a day, 6 times a day. but I think at least three times if you're wanting to get good results in the gym is a good place to start. Three protein servings a day. And obviously, like, we don't instantly digest protein, meaning if you consume a steak, you're not just gonna like burn through it and not have any in your system for an hour. But things like whey isolate, like, you will digest that at a faster rate if you're having that on its own. So that's another good reason why you maybe want to have multiple meals on a daily basis for that reason. And after, like, meal frequency and meal timing, reason why meal timing is important is because, like, things like digestion was going to have an impact. If you're slamming all your calories right before bed, you might not digest your food as well, and it's going to be hard to get the food in from a hunger point of view, affecting adherence. And as well as that, like, if you're doing the opposite and just like having tons and tons of small meals or massive gaps in between meals, then you might find it hard to manage your appetite, which will again lead to poorer adherence. And then after that, I'd say with nutrition, supplements are next on the list. Like, if you're worrying about what pre-workout you're using before actually hitting your protein, then you're missing the forest for the trees. If you're worrying about what brand of protein you're using, but you're not hitting your daily protein goal, again, missing the forest for the trees. You want to make sure you're nailing these fundamentals first. Same with like electrolyte powder, but you're not drinking any water or having salt. It's like, there's those basics you could be nailing beforehand, which you want to make sure you're doing. So don't stress about having any supplement unless you're nailing those things. That's what I'll tell my clients. Like another client, which again, I'm not putting them down. Completely fine question to ask, and I said that to him, and I said it won't harm him. But he was like, asking about like a carbohydrate powder that he used during my session, and he had before his PT session a steak pie. And the client's very young, he's in his early years of training. You can get away with things like that. But what I was saying to him is, you'll probably get more out of nailing your diet around your session than worrying about what supplement to take or taking a carbohydrate powder, if that makes sense. Because it's like, you'll be better off kind of fueling with a good pre-workout meal than having that carb powder. But it does act as a good insurance policy. So again, it will still give you more reward, maybe. It will still help you progress, but it will give you minor improvements. It won't give you major improvements. Again, going back to the title, majoring in the minors. And in terms of next I want to touch on is recovery. So when it comes to recovery, what will matter most, again, is good sleep and stress management. So if anything's going to improve your sleep, improve your stress, they're going to be the biggest needle movers with your recovery. And with sleep, a few basics to have in place is trying to get up and go to bed at a similar time, making sure you are limiting light exposure before bed, getting bright light in the morning. That will set your circadian rhythm, making sure you're sleeping in a dark environment, a comfortable environment as well. Those are the biggest needle movers that you can have with your sleep, and making your room as dark as you possibly can, so that when you are sleeping, there's no bright lights that are going to wake you up or interrupt your sleep, etc. And just making sure, like, it's again nice and quiet, which you can do through using earplugs, that sort of thing. That's going to be the biggest needle movers. You can also consider using things like mouth tape. You can use like nose tape as well, which will help you breathe through your nose and not breathe through your mouth. And you can consider like blue light blockers before bed, etc. And also things like sleep supplements. But again, nail the basics before worrying about the supplement side of things. As for what else matters, so again, stress management, that's going to impact sleep, which is again why it's going to be one of the biggest needle movers. Stress will impact your ability to digest food, to recover from hard training. What I like to say is, your body doesn't know the difference between stress from work and stress from the gym. Both are going to have an impact on your recovery, so we want to manage them. The reason why stress will impact sleep is, when stress is high, cortisol will be elevated. Cortisol stops you producing melatonin. Melatonin is the hormone that helps you get to sleep and stay asleep, that we produce in the later hours of the day. So there you can see, right, if you're stressed all the time, then you're not going to sleep as well. And which is why supplements can have potential benefit that help get you in a relaxed state. But before that, again, make sure like you're having a good routine so that you can manage your stress. Make sure you are just thinking about how you perceive stress. So I think something important and valuable is thinking with certain stressors, like, will this matter in 5 years' time? If not, probably nothing you need to stress about an awful lot. And obviously, it's easier said than done. And also, just like making sure you're planning in downtime, you're maybe not going on your phone all the time whenever you have a minute. Like, and when you have downtime, like, how are you spending it? Like, if you have half an hour free in the day, let's say, are you on your phone looking at things that are stressful, looking at news with horrible things happening in the world, or arguing with people on social media, or are you going a walk outside without your phone, looking at trees, greenery, whatever? As much as that sounds a bit funny, like it's shown that that helps get us in a relaxed state. Are we practicing some deep breathing techniques, which can be easily done before meals to help improve digestion and also help you manage your stress? And what doesn't matter with recovery? So things like ice baths, saunas, massage therapy, foam rolling, let's say, what else have we got? Hot cold therapy, which is obviously goes in with sauna and ice baths, that sort of thing. And yeah, just things along those lines. Stretching, they matter very little, like unless you're nailing your sleep and stress management. Like I've never went into a session and thought, oh, I've not performed well because I've not stretched before it, or which can actually decrease performance if done for an extended period with like a lot of strain behind it, if that makes sense, or done aggressively. So yeah, those things will maybe have small potential benefit, but you'll get more out of nailing the other things first, and it will be cheaper as well. And like, instead of maybe stretching for half an hour, I'd rather someone get half an hour extra sleep unless they're already sleeping a really good duration. So that's what I think matters very little. Reason being is the things that I touched on there, they've either not got a ton of research behind them, or they have, but again, it's a marginal effect and a marginal improvement that will make in maybe your recovery. So yeah, nail the other fundamentals first. Sleep can also impact your injury risk. So if we're sleeping better, then we're going to be less likely to get injured, which means more productive training once again. And yeah, so don't worry about taking, let's say, the perfect pre-workout to improve your training if you're not training harder consistently, and especially if it's going to impact sleep quality. So again, like, it's not worth the trade-off of like having pre-workout really close to bed to perform your best, because then you're going to sleep poor, you're going to not have as good training the next day, and then it's going to have a knock-on effect, because we're not just trying to string together one good session, we're trying to string together productive weeks and months of training. And don't worry about getting up earlier to have an ice bath to start your day, because it can actually blunt muscle growth for one, and two, it's time you could be spending sleeping, unless you're again already having a good amount of sleep. And again, wasting money on supplements to the extent that you can't afford is good quality food, or to the extent that you're stressed about money, or to the extent you can't afford to go to the gym or whatever, or drive to the gym or things like that. Like, make sure you're focusing on what will give you the most reward. And hope you've enjoyed the episode and took a lot of value from it. Quite enjoyed this one. Like, going into it, I had just a few notes, but managed to kind of make it quite a lengthy discussion, and hopefully a valuable one too. So yeah, thank you very much for watching or listening. If you did enjoy it, any support's absolutely massively appreciated. And anyone interested in personal training, online coaching, reach out. If you've not already, subscribe to my YouTube. I've got videos going out there, not just the podcast, but training footage, show day footage if you've not watched it already. And same if you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please leave a rating or review and share it on your story if you did enjoy it. The support means the absolute world. And hope everyone has a great rest of their day.